Hello and welcome to the Bridge City Church podcast. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church. Or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to have a coffee and a chat. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
I've been looking forward to sharing this message with you for some weeks. And last weekend I became quite ill and I was starting to worry whether I was going to get here or not. So it's great to be here and be able to share this today. Last weekend, as I said, I became ill. I had this abscess in my body, and I was really concerned because I had one in the same place earlier this year, and it became septic, and I was ill, and I had to cut a very large hole in me to get it out, and that hole took 4 months to heal. So when I got sick this time, I was saying, Lord, please, I do not want to have this same thing again, right? So I was a bit desperate. So I went to the doctor on Saturday morning, and he put me in hospital. And because it was a weekend, they sort of decided not to do too much. They were just going to leave me here in Murray Bridge. And then maybe on Monday, depending on what happened, they were going to send me off to Adelaide to get cut up. And he gave me a couple of options, really. There was, not options, but he said, look, this is probably what's going to happen is you're going to end up having surgery to get this removed. But there is a possibility if we keep pumping you full of antibiotics that it might go away or it might burst, and that'll be that. So those two things sounded good, but that was a sort of an outside chance. And so I was laying in hospital, and I was praying two things. And I wasn't praying for very long. It was only just a few sentences each time. But I was praying that, firstly, that the blood of Jesus would speak to this sickness in my body, this abscess, and tell it to go away, and I just heal my body. And the second thing that I was praying was that the blood of Jesus would speak to anything that might be holding up this healing from coming. So I wanted to be healed, but I wanted to remove anything that might stop me from being healed. And so those were the two things that I've been praying. And after a couple of days, there wasn't really any change. And early on Monday morning, I'm laying in hospital, you know, and if it's 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, if you've ever been in there sick, you know, it's a pretty dark time. And I'm just laying there, and I had this moment of doubt. And there's nothing wrong with a doubt. It's really how you deal with it next that's a problem. And so I thought, is this working, this applying, you know, getting the blood of Jesus to speak to it? And I thought, for a moment, I thought, yes, I'm sticking with this. And sometime after that, I must have gone to sleep. And when I woke up some hours later, it was obvious that I'd sort of turned the corner. I'm feeling better than I was. I wasn't better, but I was feeling better than I had been. And so when the doctor came, he said, oh, you're looking better. We'll make a decision about this tomorrow, whether we're going to send you to Adelaide or not. So I kind of put it off. We'll just keep pumping you with these stuff. And it might have been a slight change in the next 24 hours. But the next morning, which was Tuesday, I knew that Day Connect was on. And Day Connect, we've been looking at prayer. And so where I'm laying in bed, I'm watching the clock. And I thought, okay, so the guys now are doing their study. And then a bit later, I thought, okay, now they're having a discussion about it. And then at about 11:15, I thought, they'll be finishing their discussion soon and they'll start praying. And they'll pray for me. And at 11:20, the abscess in me burst. So it was like, this is the time when the guys are praying, and that's when I was healed. And so after I got cleaned up, sometime a bit later, Ken and Janine and Gay turned up to sort of check up on me, and I was pretty excited about it. Gay had to tell me to quiet down because I was being too specific about what had happened. And but after they went, something kind of odd happened. I was just still lying there. I was feeling really humbled that God had done this for me. You know, it seemed like an outside chance, but it had happened. But not only that, I'm lying there, and it was like this quietness just came on me. I just don't know how to explain what happened next. But it was like this quietness just came on. I'm just laying there really quiet. And in that, I don't know whether I had a vision or a revelation or an insight or what happened, but I could see that on those early hours of the morning before, you know, when I was having that moment of doubt, that at that moment, after I'd said, yes, I'm still going with the blood of Jesus, I'd entered into the courts of heaven and I'd stood before God. And in what I'm seeing, I'm standing there before God and I've got my hand up like this. And I'm standing there, and in my hand, there was a piece of paper, and on it was written my prayer request. I want to be healed without surgery. And on it was stamped, done and healed. And I just, that's the only way I can explain it. I don't know, I'm not one who goes around having visions and stuff, but this just took me by surprise. And so, look, if you're ill, you've got your prayers, don't be too shy about bringing them before the Lord, because you can come into his presence and he heals you and does what he hears your prayers. Okay, so that was this week. Now we come to the actual sermon, okay? And I want to give some credit to Robert Henderson in the preparation of the sermon. And also I've got to say that I'm going to read some Bible readings, but it won't be on the screen. And that's not because of a technical issue. That's simply because I forgot to tell them what to do, what the Bible verses were, okay? So, in the mid-1800s, in the United States, there was a Sunday school teacher named Edward Kimball who was determined to bring his Sunday school class to Christ. And one of the boys, a teenager named Dwight Moody, tended to fall asleep on Sundays, but Kimball, undeterred, set out to reach him at the place where he worked, which I think was a shoe store. And it said afterwards his heart was pounding when he entered the store and where the young man worked. And he said, I put my hand on his shoulder and then I leaned over and I placed my foot on a shoebox and I asked him to come to Christ. But Kimball left feeling that he'd botched his job. His presentation of the gospel seemed halting and he was downcast. Moody, however, left the store that day a new person and eventually became one of the most prominent evangelists in America. In John, June the 17th, 1873, Moody arrived in Liverpool in England for a series of crusades. And the meetings went poorly at first, but then after a while, sort of the dam broke and sort of things picked up and away it went. And miracles and blessings started flowing. Moody visited a Baptist chapel that was pastored by a scholarly man named F.B. Meyer, and who at first disdained the American's uncluttered preaching because apparently he didn't sound all that educated when he preached. But Meyer was soon transfixed and transformed by Moody's message. And at Moody's invitation, he toured America. And at the Northfield Bible Conference, he challenged the crowd saying, if you're not willing to give up everything for Christ, are you willing to be made willing? And that remark changed the life of a struggling young minister named J. Wilbur Chapman. Chapman proceeded to become a powerful traveling evangelist in the early 1900s, and he recruited a converted baseball player named Billy Sunday. And under Chapman's eye, Sunday became one of the most spectacular evangelists in American history. His campaign in Charlotte in North Carolina produced a group of converts who continued praying for another such visitation of the Spirit. And in 1934, they invited the evangelist Mordecai Ham to conduct a citywide crusade. And it was during that crusade that Billy Graham was converted. Edward Kimball thought that he'd botched the job. But in fact, what he said in progress, maybe 70 years later, was the conversion of Billy Graham, who eventually has probably converted millions of people to Christ. And so we never know what effect we're having, do we, when we're just going about our lives. None of us really understands the impact that we have as Christians on the people around us. We're not all called to be pastors or evangelists or preachers, but we all have a God-given destiny. And as we go about our lives following God's principles and direction, our destiny gradually begins to unfold. So let's start at the beginning. Let's start at Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16. And it says this: "For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them." All right, so reading this, it seems that before time began, God sat down, and before anyone was born, he wrote their book and gave them a plan and a destiny. Obviously, those who don't become Christians miss the destiny God has got planned for them. But even as Christians, we can sometimes, maybe for a short period, get off track and miss some of the destiny that God has planned for us. And of course, the devil is doing his best to try very hard to distract us from our destiny and keep us from it. As you read the Bible and take note of the term books, you'll find that there's lots of books for different purposes mentioned in the Bible. I guess it's kind of like what we would now call a database. Right? Throughout the Hebrew Bible and the New Testament is the idea that people's names are recorded in heaven. A name means a person's personality or character, their unique being. Even though they may share, we might share our name with someone else. I know there's other people with the same name as me. Past, we might share names with other people, past or present. God knows our specific name. That is the unique substance that we're made of, our physical and our spiritual DNA. In Psalm 57:8, David writes, "You number my wanderings," as in wandering about, "put my tears into your bottle, and are they not in your book?" The verse ends with a question mark. In effect, David's saying, "You know what I'm doing. You've got it written down, haven't you?" That's what God's saying. Well, that's what David was saying to God. Let's look at Daniel chapter 7, verse 10. Daniel is talking of his vision of the Ancient of Days. And it says, "A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were opened." Right? So it seems that what he saw was the court was in session and the books were opened. And today we're just going to take a brief look at some of the things that help us to find our destiny and some of the things that will delay us or keep us from reaching our destiny. Let's read Romans 8, verses 28 to 30. "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified." And so we see here there's five steps mentioned that bring us into our destiny. Firstly, he foreknew us. Secondly, he predestined us. Thirdly, he's called us. Fourthly, he's justified us. And number five, he's glorified us. The prophet Jeremiah writes that God knew him while he was still in his mother's womb. And that's a theme that just seems to run through the Bible. That is, before we were born, God knew us. When you get a moment, just think about that, because at the beginning of time, whatever was decided in the council of courts of heaven concerning you were written down in a book. Right? And I just think about that for a while. I think, wow, what's going on? The moment it was written down in a book, you became what the Bible calls predestined. That is, there was a destiny written down about you before you were born. Right? Doesn't mean that you didn't have any choice. You've still got your choices, but you've got a destiny. You didn't yet exist, but you already had a destiny. Right? You didn't exist yet, but you already had a destiny. You were already in the mind of God. So, Paul wrote to the Romans, and that first, God knew us. Second, God predestined us. And thirdly, God called us. Those whom he predestined, he also called. That doesn't necessarily mean that you'll be called into ministry or as a missionary or a pastor or an evangelist. It simply means that you've been called into your destiny. It's like God's just reaching out to you and saying, here, here's your destiny, come with me and I'll show it to you. All right? God's just trying to draw us into it. Step into your future. Step into the destiny that I have planned for you. In reality, I think God gives us glimpses of what he wants us to do. And sometimes when we get a glimpse of this, we might fail to make a connection between what we see and what our destiny is. Sometimes the glimpses of where God is going to lead us are for events that maybe are years away. And sometime later when you arrive at that event, you suddenly realise that God's been preparing you for this event for some years. When I was about 20 years old, a group came to our church from YWAM, which is Youth with a Mission. And they began sharing about some of the evangelistic work they'd done in Australia and overseas. And some of them had been on a trip over to Sejuna on the west coast, and they were talking about what they were doing over there. And while they were talking about it, I just had this stirring in my spirit telling me that I should go there. So I discussed this with my father. He probably wasn't all that keen for me to move away. And he, in turn, had a talk to our pastors about it, and they prayed with him. And they felt that I should hold off from moving over there for a little while, for the time being anyway. And after the idea had been on hold for some time, I just sort of doubted its authenticity and ultimately forgot about it. So when I'd finished my traineeship, which might have been another couple of years, I left home, travelled around for a while, went to Bible college, and then worked for 6 years in the Methodist and the Uniting Churches as a lay pastor in Queensland. And after this, I returned to my old trade and began working as a radio technician in Townsville. And after a couple of years, we decided to move back to South Australia. And really, I guess I've got to say that my wife was praying fervently that we would move back to South Australia. She didn't own up to that until after it had happened. So I began looking around, and I gained a position as a technical officer working on the east-west microwave radio route. And in those days, all television and data and telephone traffic between the eastern states and Western Australia all went through that system. The control centre and the workshop for that system was based in Sejuna. And I'd been living in Sejuna for about 3 years. It was kind of funny. I'd been living there for about 3 years, and one day I remembered, oh, that's right. About 13 or 14 years ago, I just felt that God was calling me to go there. And here I was. I always enjoyed working there, and I can see now that it was part of my calling. The thing that I'd caught a glimpse of all those years earlier, and it was in the timetable of God. Now, there's some other things I've caught a glimpse of, but they haven't happened yet, but they're still in the timetable of God. When you get a glimpse of your destiny, bring it before God and go before God in the courts of heaven and pray, let this be a reality in my life. Getting a glimpse of the future is not really a new idea. In Genesis 37, we read how Joseph, at the age of 17, had some dreams that showed that he would become important and that his parents and his brothers would bow down to him, before him. When he told his family about these dreams, they didn't receive it very well. In fact, his brothers, of course, you know, conspired against him and sold him into slavery in Egypt. And it got worse. He ended up in prison for some years. But nevertheless, he became the Pharaoh's right-hand man. And the day did eventually come when his brothers and his parents came and knelt before him. So he had this like glimpse of the future, but it was still maybe 15 years or more away. In 1 Timothy 1:18, Paul writes, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Paul's bringing to Timothy's attention the prophecies that were previously spoken over him. Right? A legitimate prophecy is a revealing to us what's in our book in the courts of heaven. Right? I hadn't realised that until I was reading this book. That yeah, we've all had prophecies spoken over us at different times. And really, if it's a legitimate prophecy, then what it's doing is revealing something to us about what's written about us in the courts of heaven. Interesting thought, isn't it? So if you've had a prophecy spoken over you that you accept as being from God, don't treat it passively. It needs to be prayed into reality. Of course, be aware that as soon as you stand up and begin to pray your destiny into reality, the devil will try and oppose you and put you off. He'll stand before God and begin making claims as to why you shouldn't be allowed your destiny. So obviously if there's sin in your life, then you need to repent and before God and get forgiven. But in doing so, because you need to remove the legality of any claim that the devil might be able to make against you. We'll come to that a little bit more in a minute. We'd all like to know what's written in our book, wouldn't we? What our destiny is, what God's got written in there. And for that to happen, our book needs to be opened. In Revelation 10:18, tells us how John was commanded to take the little book which was open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. And the significance was that the book was being opened is that John was free to receive revelation from it. It's like it was his book that they were opened and said, here, this is your destiny. How can we open our books to see what's on the inside? One simple thing is to truly worship God with hearts that are full of passion and love for him. From this worship, our books will open and we'll get a glimpse inside. That's why often we've seen prophetic releases come and the books are open after worship or as part of the worship in a church that suddenly someone prophesies. True worship opens the books, and when the books are open, we can prophesy from them. Well, what can hold up and delay our destiny? Firstly, This is one of my favourite themes, I suppose, I talked about last time I preached, I reckon. We can get in the way with a problem. Sometimes we can get a glimpse of part of our future destiny, and wanting to be helpful, we race off and start doing stuff, get started on it. And after a while, it comes to nothing, and we're left wondering, well, what went wrong? And quite simply, we failed to stop and ask God what it was that he wanted us to do. How are you supposed to do this? We're doing it in our own way. And let me tell you, that if you're in that position, you're not alone. In the Old Testament, we read of a time in King David's reign when there was a terrible drought that went on for about 3 years. No doubt the people of Israel at the time had prayer meetings and all sorts and were calling out to God for the rain to come, but it didn't come. And then after 3 years, David asked the obvious question. He says, Lord, you know, what are we got to do to bring the rain? And God was probably thinking, well, I thought you'd never ask. But it was revealed that the nation had broken a covenant. And once that was dealt with, the rain came. So, ask God to reveal your destiny and then wait on him to reveal it. Don't try and push it or rush it or force it along, because if you do, you risk getting in the way and causing a delay. Remember, Joseph's destiny came quite some years after he'd had this dream. He had the dream, then there was quite a few years in the middle, and then he reaches the fulfillment of that dream. Another hold up are curses. Someone may have set out maybe to place a demonic curse on your life, but the most common thing is negative words spoken over you by those who have authority in various areas of your life. Those who might speak negative stuff over us, which is kind of like not positive, it's negative, it's like a curse over our lives, are those who might be our employer or our family or our teachers or even pastors. Parents in particular need to be careful of the words that they speak over their children, whether the children can hear them or not. You see, the devil can use these words against us, saying before God, see, even his family, his teachers or his employer say these things against him. And that can be come back against you. Remembering these curses or actions taken against us may not immediately come to mind. You know, I've been thinking, well, I was been thinking about this, thought, what's been said over me? And not much comes to mind immediately, but if you just leave your mind open to it for a while, gradually stuff starts to filter through that, oh, I remember years back this happened or whatever. Once these things have come to light, you can ask the blood of Jesus to remove them. Right? The next thing is forgiveness. God has forgiven us and he expects us to forgive others. Remember, God's not angry with you, right? He's already poured his anger out against you on Jesus as he hung on the cross. Right? So he was angry with you, but it's already been poured out on Jesus. So he's not angry with you anymore. So get into your spirit that God's not angry with you. He has forgiven you, and because you now have the luxury of being forgiven, extend it to others. Right? Remember, unforgiveness is a barrier in our relationship to God. Our unforgiveness can delay our destiny. And lastly, there's one other thing to say. There is a book for this church. Right? This book will show God's intended destiny for our church and how our destinies are intertwined with it. Right? As I was thinking about this, I thought, oh, Well, I'm talking about thinking about my destiny and talking to you about your destinies, but the destiny of the church is intertwined with our destinies, right? I mentioned a few minutes ago that we should pursue our destiny as it's written in our book, and the same applies for our church. We should pursue the destiny that God has for us as a church. But it won't come without commitment and effort on our part. In the book of Joshua, we read how after 40 years of wandering the desert, the people of Israel are finally about to enter the promised land. And they intend to enter the promised land by crossing over the Jordan River. The problem is that the Jordan River is in flood and it's unpassable. Might have been 2 or 3 kilometres wide, depending who you books you look at. And in chapter 3, verse 5 of the book of Joshua, it says, "And Joshua said to the people, 'Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.' And the next day, wonders did happen. The Jordan River, which was in flood, maybe kilometres wide, suddenly stopped flowing, and the whole nation of Israel was able to pass over. This miraculous event wasn't tied to their actions on the day. It was tied to their actions the previous day when they sanctified themselves. The destiny of our church is dependent on how we've sanctified ourselves. All right? And sanctifying is a process of being made or becoming holy. If we are to see great and mighty works happening in our church, it won't be because of our actions on the day. It'll be because of our actions the day before, or days or weeks before. But our church's destiny needs us to be sanctified so that it can be fulfilled. And look, I'm saying the obvious, but I believe that God is waiting to do great things in our church. The devil is trying to oppose it and cause strife for individual members, including trying to cut down our pastor. All right? But don't be afraid. The power of Jesus' blood can remove the accusations of the devil, leaving him with no legal claim to hold up the destiny of our church. Our church has a destiny, and we need to pray it into being, because the destiny of our church is also linked to the destiny of each one of us, because we're part of it. We also need to pray that our destiny is coming into being also. So God's got a book there for you in heaven, and whether we're aware of it or not, gradually it seems that our destiny is unfolding. If we're just following after Christ and doing what he wants us to do, it just gradually unfolds, as in I was talking about ending up in Sojourner. I wasn't thinking after those first month or two, I wasn't actually thinking about it anymore, but I ended up there, and that's where God had called me to be. God has got a destiny for this church. Over the years, 27 years that we've been here, there's been prophetic words over this church, and they are still to come into being. And God still wants to fulfill this destiny for this church. We just have to make sure that we are prepared and ready for it, that we've prepared ourselves before so that those events can happen. All right, when they crossed the Jordan River, the Israelites, it was because of their actions the day before, not because of their actions on the day. And God is wanting to do great things here, but it won't be because of the actions that we're doing on the day. It'll be because of what we've done beforehand. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you that Jesus has come, that he's made a way that we can come into your presence, that we can be forgiven, set free. And Lord, I just thank you that you have a destiny for each person here, that we've each got a book in heaven with our names on it. And before we were even thought of by our parents, you already had our destiny written in there. And Lord, I just thank you for that. Lord, I just thank you for each person here. Lord, I know that we're each looking for a purpose in life. We're each looking for our destiny in life that you've given to us. And Lord, I just thank you for that. Lord, I just pray your blessing on each person here, that shortly as we go, that you're just going to go with us, that your spirit's just going to be welling up inside us, and we're just going to go away thinking, ooh, I'm a different person. And Lord, I just thank you for that now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed today's podcast, make sure you subscribe to stay up to date with all our latest sermons. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church, or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m.